The Todd Almaz Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
We think it has to do with changing levels of hormones. So it's not so much about just losing the hormones, but our ovaries are kind of sputtering as we're getting older. And sometimes they're just like, you know, here's a lot of estrogen. Now you get no estrogen.
Now I'm just going to have this vision of my ovaries yelling at each other.
Ethel!
It's your
Ethel,
turn.
Calm down.
What are you doing over there?
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Monday morning. I hope you're having a good day. Discussing several topics today. I guess one of the big topics we need to discuss is the convention over the weekend in La Crosse. Republicans at Wisconsin's party convention kicked the tires on potential Senate challenge to Tammy Baldwin. That's the headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And it says, for just over 24 hours, Wisconsin's unofficial Republican primary for Senate played out in one building overlooking the Mississippi River. Nearly all of the state's current top potential challengers to Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin in 2024 made appearances at the state Republican convention, mingling with attendees at the La Crosse Center over the weekend. By the way, do you have a pick? Is there someone you'd like to see run against Tammy Baldwin? Yeah, or you feel it doesn't matter? The story goes on and says, U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany spoke on a panel. Franklin businessman Scott Meyer stopped by Friday night. Madison businessman Eric Hovde, who ran in the 2012 GOP Senate primary and has publicly pondered running for office in years since, hosted a post-convention hospitality suite stocked with beer. Quote, we very well might have a candidate in the room or that's been at the convention this weekend, said Eric Toney, the Fond du Lac County District Attorney. He told the convention crowd that at one point on Saturday. But outside of their presence in the convention center, none of the men who have signaled interest in the race appeared to give any additional signs of their intention or their intentions, as Wisconsin Republican leaders indicated they believe there is plenty of time for the field to develop. The party has put a priority on attempting to unseat Baldwin and in turn, helping their national counterparts regain a majority in the Senate. No Republican has yet announced a bid for Senate in Wisconsin. Here's a quote. "I don't think anybody's fairly concerned about the timing yet," Mark Jefferson, executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel of the yet-to-form Republican field, quote, "and we have some strong candidates looking at it," end quote. That field was shaken up last week when Green Bay Representative Mike Gallagher, who many Republicans in both Washington and Wisconsin wanted to challenge Baldwin, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he would not run for Senate and rather plans to seek re-election in the House. On Saturday, Tiffany told reporters he'd make a decision in the next month and a half, and Hubdy said he could decide by the fall. Meyer has suggested he'd make his own decision by early September. Roger Roth, a former state senator who ran for lieutenant governor last year and has also been floated as a potential candidate, was also at the convention. But former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark Jr., who has teased a run on social media, was not in attendance. Democrats, ahead of the annual event, mocked Republicans for not yet having a declared candidate, calling the potential Baldwin challengers an embarrassingly weak hypothetical field. Quote, "The biggest story from the Republican convention this weekend will be the thing that didn't happen. The Wisconsin GOP, dominated by MAGA extremism and divided against itself, still has yet to dredge up a single candidate willing to take on Senator Tammy Baldwin," Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair Ben Wickler said in a statement. Still, Republicans gathered in La Crosse on Saturday suggested there's no immediate sense of urgency to jump into the race that is still more than a year away. Several officials recalled U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's 2010 race against former Democratic U.S. Senator Russ Feingold, in which Johnson unseated the incumbent after jumping into the contest about 6 months before the election. Quote, "It would be nice to have a candidate decided so they can start running a campaign immediately," Johnson said in La Crosse, adding, "There's no rush right now. They got plenty of time. These elections are way too long, so I'm certainly not panicking." The potential candidates appeared to strike a similar tone as they met with Republican voters and state officials on the convention floor and in rooms closed to the press. Quote, "I've ran once before, came close but didn't get it, so having done that, I know what a life commitment it is," Hovde told the Journal Sentinel outside his hospitality suite. "And it's a full all-in and disrupts your life tremendously for a whole year of your life. So it's not something I take lightly. Am I seriously considering it? Absolutely," Hovde added. "Have I made up my mind? No. I'm kind of targeting the fall. I don't feel compelled to jump in early. I'm going to sit and evaluate through the summer and early fall and make up the decision and say, all right, am I in? And if I'm in, I'm going to go all in," end quote. Tiffany, who has traveled the state in recent weeks as he weighs a bid, maintained that he is also still pondering his decision, but told reporters that funding will be key in a battle against Baldwin, a proven fundraiser in a key swing state where such races can see spending reach into the hundreds of millions of dollars. Quote, "In an ideal world, you pick a perfect candidate and they clear the field and they're the sole candidate," Tiffany said Saturday. "You'd love to see that, but that's not always how it works. The key thing is that whoever's running, they got to figure out from the get-go, how are they going to fund their campaign after the primaries? You got to be able to answer that question," end quote. Tiffany praised Wickler, the Wisconsin Democrats chairman, for creating a well-oiled machine of campaign fundraising and said Republicans have to compete in every corner of the state, including in heavily Democratic areas like Dane County, to have a chance at unseating Senator Baldwin. Quote, "We cannot win statewide races if we're going to get less than 20% of the vote in Dane County," he said. Finding a way to win across the state has challenged Republicans in recent years. The Republicans, the GOP, has lost 14 of the last 17 statewide races in Wisconsin since 2016. Party leaders said they will put a renewed emphasis on trying to win over independents as Republican support in traditionally red suburban areas has continued to erode. But the primary election is also top of mind for some Wisconsin Republicans. The party saw hard-fought primary races for governor in 2022 and Supreme Court this past spring, and Democrats eventually prevailed in both contests. Jefferson, the Wisconsin GOP's executive director, said the state party will put a priority on trying to keep the Senate primary from becoming too divisive. He pointed to the governor's race primary between construction executive Tim Michaels and former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. Clayfish endorsed Michaels following her primary loss, but did not campaign with him. Quote, "I think last time around, I don't know that the primaries were all that divisive, but I think there was some trouble rallying around the winner, and I think that's where we fell short in the end," Jefferson told the Journal Sentinel. "It's one thing to have different stances on the issues. It's one thing to debate the issues. It's another to take it too far and make it personal and make it so divisive that you can't rally around the winner." Inside the convention hall Saturday, delegates appeared to be feeling out the early Senate Republican field. One pair of delegates from Calumet County said they'd like to see Clayfish jump into the race, saying they'd prefer to have a woman challenge Baldwin in 2024. Others indicated they were interested in learning more about Hovde, the Madison businessman, who could help self-fund the early stages of his campaign. A straw poll of 321 delegates conducted by WisPolitics.com showed Tiffany coming out on the top of the field with about 33% of the vote. Clark, the former Milwaukee County Sheriff, came in second with about 18% of the vote. Kevin Nicholson, a Delafield business consultant who briefly ran for governor last year and whose name has been floated in the Senate race, ranked third at 16%. Roth ranked fourth with 10%. And Hovde, fifth at 8%. Meyer received 2 votes. Do you have an opinion? Do you have a preference on who would run against Tammy Baldwin? If so, feel free to call in and let us know. Phone number is 715-388-7155. You are tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The law firm of Gingras, Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to 3 different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras, Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue,
Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing city fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Tap.
Mostly sunny and warm today. We'll get to 87 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, it will be clear, our low 64. Tomorrow, more the same, mostly sunny, 88. We'll get to 89 on Wednesday. Thursday will be warmer, sunny, 90 with a slight chance of thunderstorms Friday afternoon and night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Sitting in the morning sun and watching all the birds passing by. Oh, how sweet they sing, and oh, how much I wish that I could fly. And I try, I said I try, I try, I really try, but I got to pick myself up, dust myself.
Yes. 23 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Monday morning. Great tune from Peter Tosh. Man, that song always makes me feel better. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sticking around. I want to discuss voting a little bit here. Now, you know, there's been this game that's been played by some legislators and elected officials, where they tell their voters not to vote early. And the reason why they say is because you want to vote on election day, right? And this early voting thing could cause problems. Your vote might not get counted is what they tell their voters. And I'm talking about Republicans. And so what that's led to is Republicans voting on the day of the election, Democrats, many of them voting in early voting or doing mail-in voting. So what happens on election night is that the Republican candidates are ahead at the end of the voting day. But then as the votes get counted by all of the people who voted early and all the people who mailed in their ballots, then Democrat votes come in, right? And of course, remember Donald Trump saying, well, look what happened in the middle of the night. They added millions of votes. Well, that's what happens when people vote early or they mail in their ballot. Then their votes are counted in many places after the polls close. But now, evidently, Republicans are changing their mind. They're telling their voters, it may be a good idea to vote early or vote by mail. This is a headline from the New York Times today. It says, GOP leaders embrace early voting. But will their base get on board? Former President Donald J. Trump has said that until Republicans gain power and can change the law, they have no choice but to support voting by mail. And this was just posted this morning. It says, after years of deriding early and mail-in voting, claiming they lead to fraud and help Democrats to steal elections, top Republicans are changing their position, leading to a split in the party as the 2024 election approaches. The converts atop the party warn that they must adapt or risk further electoral setbacks, especially in key states where early and mail-in balloting are in place. However, the entrenched foes within Republicans' election denier ranks could muddle the party message on voting. The Republican National Committee recently announced that it had created a program to promote early voting, both by mail and in person. The effort, called Bank Your Vote, further calls for Republicans to take advantage of ballot harvesting where it is legal, practice that allows a third party to collect voters' completed ballots. Quote, to win close elections, we need to close the gap on pre-election day voting, Ronna McDaniel, the RNC chair, said in a rollout video for the program. The reversal is a concession to math and the realities of the moment, as the popularity of mail-in voting shows few signs of receding. 3 years after the pandemic began and accelerated its use, it also is a grudging recognition that Republicans have failed to gain traction with their baseless claims that mail voting compromises election integrity. Even former President Donald Trump, whose lies and conspiracy theories about his 2020 election loss heightened the party's distrust of mail-in voting, has been saying for months that Republicans have no choice but to embrace the method, at least until the party has the power to change voting laws. As Trump seeks the Oval Office for a third time, his soft-pedaled shift illustrates the divide between the party's candidates who want to avoid adding to the string of defeats in 2020 and 2022, and his fervent base of supporters. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Communities across Oklahoma are cleaning up after powerful storms. KOTV's Caitlin Diggs is in Sand Springs, Oklahoma.
Tess Mack was downstairs with her family when the storm hit. When she came upstairs, her daughter noticed there was a branch that had crashed through her ceiling.
Really just could not believe what I saw.
Firearms deaths in America are up 45% in the last few years. CBS's Christian Benavides.
According to the Gun Violence Archive, which categorizes mass shootings as those where at least four people have been shot, there have been 310 so far this year.
As we reflect on the treatment of Black Americans on this Juneteenth, we also look at systemic racism.
It's critical that we learn and understand history fully and accurately, lest we succumb to the false sense that we've accomplished more than we have and that the work is over when in fact it's not.
That's Daryl Heller with Indiana University. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. A person is dead after being shot by law enforcement in Vernon County on Friday night. The Wisconsin Department of Justice said that two Vernon County Sheriff's deputies were sent to a home near Genoa when they noticed someone leaving in a car. After stopping the car, the person tried to drive away from the deputies, with one of them hanging on to the side of the vehicle. That's when the other deputy shot and killed the person trying to get away, according to a release. The shooting is under investigation. A man was arrested after a drive-by shooting in La Crosse Saturday morning. The La Crosse Police Department said 31-year-old DeAndre Grant is accused of shooting six people just after 2 a.m. on 3rd Street Saturday. He is being recommended for six charges of attempted reckless homicide with the use of a dangerous weapon. And this weekend, the Republican Party of Wisconsin held its state convention in La Crosse. Notable speakers included Senator Ron Johnson and Representative Derek Van Orden. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Oh yeah, 9:34 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Wilson Pickett for you on a Monday morning. Stu Daniels here. And by the way, if you want to join the show, feel free to call in at 715-388-7155. And let me ask you this. What do you think are the most pressing issues facing the United States today? Is it climate change? What else matters if the earth becomes uninhabitable, what else even matters? Or would you say it's healthcare? Is that the most pressing issue? What about gun safety? There's a host of other issues that people list when they say, what are the most important issues? college funding, or just education in general. Well, what if the leader of Wisconsin's Republican legislative body says that the most important issue we have is allowing diversity in public colleges, public universities? Well, that's the case. Speaker Robin Voss says he's embarrassed to be a UW System alumnus because of campus diversity programs, and says it's the most important issue facing the United States and even humanity. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Dateline La Crosse. It says Wisconsin's top state legislative Republican continued his attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts at the state's public universities, calling the programming the single most important issue and claiming he was embarrassed to be a University of Wisconsin System alumnus because of it. Here's his quote. "This is probably, to me, the single most important issue that we are facing as a people, as a nation, and as really humanity." Right. He's talking about diversity programs, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's making sure that everybody is treated fairly when it comes to getting into universities. That alone is the single most important issue facing humanity, according to Robin Voss. He made those remarks Saturday at the state Republican Party convention. Voss of Rochester relabeled the DEI acronym division, exclusion, and indoctrination, and suggested the UW system, and in particular UW-Madison, the state's flagship university, puts an outsized emphasis on diversity efforts, which he sees as a waste of taxpayer money and source of racial division. In his remarks during a panel discussion Saturday, he contended he received correspondence from at least one professor who detailed a situation in which her performance was measured by diversity, equity, and inclusion goals. Quote, "The overt racism, the overt exclusion, the overt indoctrination is so deep inside the UW system, I am embarrassed to be an alumni," said Voss, who graduated from UW-Whitewater in 1991. "We have got to fix that," he said. Voss's comments were the latest in a rift with Democrats and the UW system that has led to a standoff over a portion of the state's budget. Democratic Governor Tony Evers proposed a $305 million budget increase for the UW system, but Voss is seeking a cut to the system of at least $32 million to the system's budget, largely in an effort to eliminate DEI programming. Evers told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel last week that he would veto any budget that contains a $32 million cut to the UW system at a time when the state has a $7 billion surplus. But Voss later countered by suggesting the budget cut could go deeper. UW system president Jay Rothman, meanwhile, has talked about the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion programming on campuses. Diversity offices, some argue, help recruit students at a time of declining enrollment and foster a sense of belonging for those who have historically been discriminated against in higher education. In a lengthy Twitter thread Friday afternoon, Rothman addressed the proposed UW system budget cut without mentioning DEI efforts. He wrote, "The UW system exists to help the state of Wisconsin. I have been a resident of Wisconsin my entire life. Shrinking our budget when we need to invest in Wisconsin talent to win the war for talent would have serious consequences," end quote. The pushback on diversity and inclusion efforts in Wisconsin comes amid similar criticism across the country. At the state convention Saturday, Wisconsin Republicans approved non-binding resolutions that included a measure urging the state to ban the teaching of critical race theory, which holds that racism has permeated American institutions and created disadvantages for people of color. Quote, DEI is the new religion to the left, Voss said Saturday. They don't go to church on Sunday, but they have no problem using taxpayer dollars to evangelize on every college campus across the state. We have to stop, put our foot down, and not allow it to continue. End quote from Robin Voss. He thinks that having diversity on campus is the single biggest issue for humanity today. Yeah, he might want to rethink that. Let's. And by the way, speaking about what are the real big issues of the day, one thing I mentioned, of course, climate change. What else matters if we don't have a planet that is inhabitable? This from the New York Times. Ocean warmth set a record for the month of May. Temperatures are already breaking records this year. Last month was the warmest May for the world's oceans since record-keeping began in 1850, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The average ocean temperature throughout May was 1.53, about 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit or 0.85 degrees Celsius higher than normal for the month. So in Fahrenheit degrees, the average ocean temperature about 1.5 degrees above normal. For the planet as a whole, May was the third warmest on record, the agency said on Thursday in its monthly climate update. North and South America had their warmest Mays on record. Okay, North America, South America, warmest month of May on record. In the United States, rising temperatures hit Washington State and northern Idaho especially hard. Two cities in Washington, Bellingham and Spokane, as well as smaller communities in the region, set records for their warmest Mays. Warmer water tends to hold less oxygen, and large-scale fish die-offs may happen earlier in the year as the climate continues to warm. Last week, thousands of dead fish washed up on Texas beaches from unusually warm waters and lack of oxygen in the Gulf of Mexico. Across the ocean, higher temperatures contribute to coral reefs dying. The ocean also expands as it warms, raising sea levels even further on top of the added water from melting ice sheets. Last month's unusual heat contributed to Canada's spate of wildfires. As wildfire smoke spread, air quality in Western Canada and the Northern Great Plains in the United States deteriorated significantly. More recently, the wildfire smoke reached cities in the Northeast and Midwest, causing air quality index readings to skyrocket across much of the country. Extreme heat can be dangerous to humans as well as wildlife. Over the next several days, parts of Florida, Louisiana, and Texas are bracing for potential triple-digit temperatures, which put people at risk, especially if they work outdoors or lack air conditioning. With climate change, this is a quote, "With climate change and global warming, it's been an interesting start to the season," said Rocky Bellotta, a climatologist at NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, during a call with reporters. Last week, the agency declared that the global ocean and atmosphere had officially entered the climate pattern known as El Niño, which occurs naturally when the surface of the Pacific Ocean becomes warmer than usual. The phenomenon generally leads to warmer temperatures globally, but Mr. Bellotta said that El Niño would most likely influence temperatures later this year and next year. It's hard to pinpoint a single cause for May's heat, he said, but as the climate warms overall, increasingly hot temperatures and records are to be expected worldwide, both in the ocean and on land. Most of the United States can expect an unusually hot summer with elevated drought and wildfire risks, according to NOAA, South Texas and much of New England are in for an especially hot July. On hotter days, plants lose more water to the atmosphere and dry out, worsening the effects of drought and providing more fuel for wildfires. Warmer temperatures can also lead to more evaporation from the ocean and other bodies of water. More water vapor in the atmosphere can then lead to heavier rain and snowfall and fuel tropical storms. For the next month, the northern Great Plains, the Mid-Atlantic region, and the western Gulf Coast can expect more rain than usual, the agency forecast. Over the entire summer, the middle of the country can expect more rain, while the Pacific Northwest, parts of the Southwest, the Great Lakes region, and parts of the Mid-Atlantic should prepare for drought. Longer term, El Niño conditions will almost certainly last at least until spring of 2024 and could contribute to worse winter storms in the southern United States. So it's happening. It's not on the way. It's happening right now. It is climate change. And mankind has contributed to it significantly. Can we change it? Do we have enough time? It'll be interesting to see what happens. Hey, if you have an opinion, give us a call, 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
Mom, did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Tap. Thank you.
Mostly sunny and warm today. We'll get to 87 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, it will be clear, our low 64. Tomorrow, more of the same, mostly sunny, 88. We'll get to 89 on Wednesday. Thursday will be warmer, sunny, 90 with a slight chance of thunderstorms Friday afternoon and night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Mexico, about 3 or 4 years ago, and the journey, long. She got a job at a local.
All right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Monday morning, the final segment. Got a couple more topics I want to get to before we run out of time. One thing we've been discussing this morning is the Republican convention that took place over the weekend in La Crosse. And evidently, the former Republican president, Trump, made an appearance at the convention, but not in person. He spoke to the crowd via video, and in a video message to Wisconsin Republicans, Trump repeats false claims about 2020 and gets cheers from the convention. This is from the Journal Sentinel. It says former President Donald Trump, in a video message to Wisconsin Republicans on Saturday, repeated false claims that he won Wisconsin in the 2020 presidential election, drawing loud cheers from the crowd at the state party convention that signaled strong support for the former president among base voters. Quote, "I love that state," Trump said in his video message for hundreds of state Republican delegates gathered in western Wisconsin. "We won it the first time and we won it the second time," Trump said. Trump did carry Wisconsin in 2016, but lost to current President Joe Biden in the state by more than 20,000 votes in 2020. Recounts, audits, and court rulings upheld Biden's victory in the state. Still, Trump unsuccessfully pressured state officials to overturn those results, and a group of Wisconsin Republicans ultimately sent a slate of false electors to Washington ahead of the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021. But Trump's comments broadcast at the La Crosse Center on Saturday drew loud cheers from the crowd, which broke out into a "four more years" chant at the conclusion of the five-minute speech. Fellow 2024 Republican hopefuls, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, U.S. Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy also delivered short addresses. The reaction for the former president suggested there is still strong support for Trump among Wisconsin Republicans, even as the former president faces criminal charges in two separate inquiries. The Justice Department earlier this month accused Trump of mishandling classified documents and obstructing the government's attempt to get them back. Wisconsin's top Republican officials, as well as those gathered in La Crosse, largely dismissed the charges as politically motivated. At the same time, some convention attendees told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel they were eyeing other candidates. A number of delegates wore red "Make America Great Again" hats, and a Trump booth was set up in the convention hall. A straw poll of the delegates conducted by WisPolitics.com showed the majority of attendees preferred Trump as their presidential nominee, with just under 53% of poll delegates choosing Trump. DeSantis came in second in the poll with about 34% of the vote. Quote, "They've been after Donald Trump from the start," Republican Party of Wisconsin Chairman Brian Schimming told reporters before Trump's video. "I mean, you can go back and forth on different issues and different things that have happened, but the fact of the matter is that he's competitive in the polling and has been nationally and in Wisconsin." Here's a quote from Tom Tiffany. He said, "I think our base understands that it's a
political prosecution. They're going to move toward President Trump as a result of that because they believe it's unfair. Now, does that translate into votes? That'll be the question, end quote. Trump's speech came minutes before the Wisconsin Republicans adopted a series of non-binding resolutions that leaned into Trump's false claims of election fraud. Delegates adopted proposals which have no impact on state law, recommending the dismantling of Wisconsin's election agency and eliminating most forms of early voting, even as some of the state's top lawmakers sought to send a different message on absentee voting. Ron Johnson said, "We do need to embrace early voting. I think we relied too much on our voters getting out on election day, which we like to do. But the fact of the matter is, early voting is an important factor in these races." Assembly Speaker Robin Voss also pushed back on the effort, telling the Journal Sentinel he embraces early voting, quote, "I want every single person who wants to vote Republican to utilize the system that's in place," he said. Hey, just one more thing before we wrap up for the day. One thing that's been in the news quite a bit lately are gas stoves. Are they dangerous? According to the New York Times, a study compares gas stove pollution to secondhand cigarette smoke. This story is by Hiroko Tabuchi, and it says, using a single gas stove burner can raise indoor concentrations of benzene, which is linked to cancer risk, to above what's found in secondhand tobacco smoke, and even to levels that have prompted local investigations when detected outdoors, according to a new study. For the peer-reviewed study, researchers at Stanford's Dorr School of Sustainability measured benzene emissions from stoves at 87 homes in California and Colorado and found that natural gas and propane stoves emitted benzene that frequently reached indoor concentrations above health benchmarks set by the World Health Organization and other public agencies. Do you have a gas stove? It says, this story goes on and says, in about a third of the homes, a single gas burner on high or an oven set to 350 degrees Fahrenheit for 45 minutes raised benzene levels above the upper range of indoor concentrations seen in secondhand tobacco smoke, the researchers found. They noted that similar concentrations when identified in 2020 near schools in greater Los Angeles and the Colorado Front Range led to investigations by the authorities there. "I found it startling," said Yanai Kashtan, the lead author of the study, "that concentrations that were enough to trigger a public outcry when they were detected outside are concentrations that we've repeatedly found inside, just from stoves in people's homes." A mounting body of research has documented significant indoor air pollution and negative health effects from gas stoves. Man, if you were going to go out today and buy a stove, would you buy a gas stove? I don't know. I might think twice. Hey, that's it for the big show today, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you tune in again tomorrow from 8 till 10. I'm Stu Daniels. Enjoy your day. This is where I belong.
Law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources,
at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.